Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Good Life. Food, wine, and all the good things of life. Now, here's the host of The Good Life, Guy Bauer.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the program. What a beautiful day. Not that hot yet. Going to be hot later, but so what? It's summer. That's what it's supposed to be. Remember, it was only 2 months ago we were kind of complaining because it was a cold and wet spring. The program today is all about Prairie Hill Vineyards at Stockamer Farms. If you haven't heard of that, you will. It's a gorgeous venue and location out west near Colwich. And my good friend Dan Stockamer has done so much work, and he's older than me. It makes me feel so decrepit because of all the work and labor and love and money that he's put into this. And I just sit, well, I'm going to come out and sit around here and drink wine. That's what I'm going to do. But I'm glad you tuned in today. I hope you tune in every week. And don't forget, goodlifeguy.com. You can find out what's coming up in the future, what we've done in the past. You can download podcasts. There's a link there that will take you to KNSS Radio, and you should do that. But we'll tell you about an event that's coming up, and then we'll tell you about Dan pulled out a Chardonnay from Ferrari Carano that, while it's not available here, you ought to know about it, and we'll taste and talk about that a little bit later. Dan Stockamer, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Guy. Thanks for coming out and for gracing us with your show here. We're privileged to be able to be on your show.
Oh, man. One of my biggest regrets is not having come sooner. And in fact, I should have come when the producer and director of Bottle Shock were in town staying at my house. And Beth and I had something else to do, so we gave them my Cadillac, and they drove out here and loved it, and their kids loved it. And you sent me back a big old joint of lamb. Thank you very much. Dan, this is such a beautiful place, and it's a part of west of Wichita that a lot of people probably don't even know exists that live on the east side of town or stay inside Wichita. Before we talk about the venue here and all the work you've been doing and the grapes you're growing, let's talk about you and the family history here in this cute little Catholic parish that has deep roots and a long history.
Well, thank you for that. I grew up on this farm. It was a dairy farm when I grew up. My dad figured he couldn't make a living on a quarter section just grain farming, so he got some cows. And this whole area that the vineyard is on right now was just a big cow pasture back in the 50s and the 60s when we had the dairy farm. And I told my dad when I was 17 I didn't think I could put up with this cow manure the rest of my life, and he said he understood. And so I tell people when I was 17, I couldn't wait to get off the farm, and I got to be 47, and I couldn't wait to get back on the farm. I realized how beautiful it was here and what a gem it was, just waiting to be polished. And so I came back from Sonoma County. I'd moved out there in 1987 to the very area around Geyserville. I lived out in Geyserville, Healdsburg area for 11 years, Santa Rosa, worked in Santa Rosa, and when I came back, my wife is saying, "You're taking me out of California. Why are we doing this?" And I said, "Well, honey, I'll never be able to have a property like this in California. Plus, it's home. Plus, Mom's moving. If I don't move there, who's going to?" And so I said, "I promise I'll plant vines here and make it look a little bit like Sonoma County and Sedgwick County." And so we worked on this. We came home in 1998. Mary passed away last summer. And I've been working since then pretty much nonstop on just continuing to develop the beauty of the property. It's a unique property in the way it sits. It's next to some ponds, and it sits sort of in a very beautiful little meadow. And we've planted many, many flowers and bushes and trees, and then added a pond, and then lots of rocks, and, of course, then the gardens as well as the vineyards. And so, yeah, it keeps me busy. I feel like I've dropped my Y membership because there's no way in the world I'm going to go swim anymore. And so I'm fortunate that I have good health, and I've got wonderful people helping me here. I couldn't do this all myself, in the building of it especially. And my daughter Danielle and Tammy Cruz are helping me with a lot of the business operations of Prairie Hill Vineyards so that we can have venue events out here, whether they're weddings, showers, family reunions. We had a family too big to have Thanksgiving in his home, so he came out here and had a big Thanksgiving dinner in here, and the kids were all running around the yard and everything. I thought, it doesn't get any better than that. And so last weekend we had 350 for a wedding, lots of wonderful children. I love meeting people. And so it's been able to evolve, and we're hoping now that in the future we can do a lot of wonderful events out here for people in the community and serve them in a way that will, they'll just love coming out and being in the country like this and learning about wine.
Well, you know, it's out in the country. And meanwhile, from my home at 159th and Kellogg East all the way out here, what, to 219th and 37th Street North?
215th.
Yeah, 215th and 37th Street North, well, right at around a half-hour drive. And such a beautiful place. Let's talk about the labor involved in this. First off, what were you thinking when you decided to plant grapes here? I mean, other than to please Mary.
Well, that, and when I first came back from California, I joined the Kansas Grape Growers Association. I had it in my mind to grow grapes. And I discovered real quick, of course, Kansas doesn't have that many wineries, especially back in 98. Does has more now. And met with John Brewer, who gave me some ideas on growing grapes. He said he'd buy my grapes. And then, of course, later on, Dave Solo and Natalie, I met them. They are just wonderful people, Grace Hill Winery, and we've partnered with them now to sell our grapes to them. I basically wanted to do, you know, I tell folks when I was in Sonoma County, I joined the chamber. And so every month, the chamber, there'd be four or five wineries pouring. I said, so the chamber was very well attended in Sonoma County. And I wanted to come back and see if we could grow grapes here. And so I learned real quickly that we're still in the, we're not like France where they've grown it for 2,000 years. Between Carrie Nation and Prohibition, we were really just getting started. We had Prohibition here until 1948. So we are starting from scratch when it comes to a viticultural heritage. Most folks out here west of Wichita, you had a wedding, it was hard liquor and beer all the time. And so you have to start off literally from not knowing anything about wines and introduce people into the joy of drinking wine, the various different types of wines. And it's so much fun to do that. And I love good wine and I love people. And so I think it was that that said, okay, let's get started growing the grapes, because I told Mary, let's make it beautiful. And then when we got connected with Dave and Natalie and some of the other local wine grape growers, really, there's the vineyard, which is a grape growing operation, and then there's the winery, which is Grace Hill, which is actually a wine making operation, which is a whole nother level of work. So yeah, you think I've got a lot of work, Dave and Natalie over there not only grow grapes, but they are making really good wines. And so we're just excited to be able to be, I think at the beginning, I think 20 years from now, we'll look back and we'll see a lot more vineyards around here once people see that you can grow good grapes in Kansas. And yes, believe it or not, we can make good wine in Kansas.
Yeah, we know that. You and I were talking, I guess, I'm trying to remember, it might have been 6 years ago, maybe even a little bit longer, where you were in the old Intercom studios up north and you brought a bottle of wine that you made for the Pachyderm Club, trying to recreate the Sonoma County Grape Growers Association and have great libations. And this was a beautiful wine, mostly Norton. And man, I thought, Christ, we're going to see you on the label of Wine Spectator magazine.
I doubt that. I seriously doubt that. But I think what the movie, one of my favorite movies, Bottle Shock, at the end, of course, of the movie, they're back in the wine shop and Alan Rickman sipping wine with his friend, I forget the other actor, but they were both, and Alan Rickman says, maybe, you know, we'll be seeing wines from Argentina and South Africa and Chile and New Zealand. He says, maybe this isn't the end. Maybe this is just the beginning. And so I said, maybe even Kansas can get on the map where at least people are willing to try our wines. And yeah, we're going to fail. We're not always going to have the best wines, but there's some people that love certain varietals that don't love other varietals. And so right now we're in that process of learning what works here and what doesn't work here, and then proceeding, having a good time doing it.
Well, and you know, growing grapes is relatively easy. You can plant a grapevine. You can go to Lowe's and pick up a grapevine, stick it in your yard, and it'll probably grow and get a lot of leaves, and you'll get some fruit, and the birds will thank you because they'll eat it all. But this is a lot of work, and every step of the way, whether you're just growing grapes or whether you're vinifying them yourself and you're making wine, there's always something trying to mess you up and ruin your day. What in the world were you thinking? And then what made you start with the grapes that you did, and what grapes do you have planted now?
Okay, we started with a marquee that did not work out. After 3 or 4 years, I just knew I wasn't going to work, and I had to pull it out, and I put in place Norton, which I could talk for an hour on Norton. It's the true American varietal developed in 1820 by Dr. Daniel Norton out of Virginia. Up until that time, for 200 years, they'd tried viticulture in America. The King of England in 1630 made it punishable under death if you didn't grow grapes at the Jamestown development, because he wanted to not have to buy grapes from the French anymore. Well, with the fungus diseases in Virginia, they never got them going. The Norton plant was developed, first record of it in 1820, right before Thomas Jefferson died. Which, by the way, when you think you drink too much wine, Thomas Jefferson spent a third of his income the last year of his presidency on importing wine. So, and he's my hero. So anyway, the point being, we now have a Native American grape that has potential, and we are now marrying it with a Cab Sauvignon and a new varietal called Crimson Cabernet that we're hoping is going to bring in some of the better characteristics of the Cabernet Sauvignon with the disease resistance, the cold hardiness, and the real vigor of the Norton grape. And we grow Chamberson, which is a French hybrid that does well here. And I have two other varietals, Corona Noir and Noray, which were developments out of Cornell University that I wanted to see how well they would do here. We're finding grapes do very well here. Not all of them, though, because Syrah didn't do well here. I've tried Syrah. It doesn't do well at all. You can't really grow good Cab here, and there's other varietals that just the vinifera vines don't do well here because of the climate. But of course, New York, Virginia, Michigan, all over the upper Midwest, there's cold hardy grapes, and they're making good wines up in New York. So if they're making good wines in New York and throughout the Midwest, there's various different vineyards that are doing wonderful things. I think Stonehill and Herman, that whole story over there is a story that's waiting to be told, how the history of American wine really began in Herman, Missouri, and then graduated over to Napa later on in the 1800s. I think that we are just seeing a renaissance of vineyards. Because Prohibition had, they literally tore the vineyards out, and the government tore them out. And so nobody grew up with vines for 30, 40 years, here in Kansas anyway. And so now we're having to restart that. And so I think we're learning as we go along what varietals will do well and which will make good wines.
Well, and there's a lot that goes into this. I mean, the soil is a critical element on the soil, what type of a plant material support, and you grow a lot of stuff here, but when it comes to grapevines, that's an issue. And then, like you said, the climate, we could have 3 years of long growing season, no frost, no hail, or you could have a year that starts off with heavy rains, hail, a late cold snap, and you could end up with a bunch of dead vines before they even have a chance to flower. Now, that's a problem everywhere, but I think here, we have some of those issues in spades compared to other places.
Well, my California friends used to say, yeah, we grow our grapes over on the side of the hill because we like the increased stress on the vine. It gives it increased complexity and better flavors in the end. I said, well, hell, if you want to have stress on the vine, let's just grow them in Kansas. And so, yeah, there we have the climate issues. I think one of the major ones is the amount of humidity, the fungal problems that develop out of that. And then, of course, ideally, Napa and Sonoma, you got the hot days. It'll get up to 100, but then it's down to 65 at night or 70, and you have this fluctuation. Here, if it can get really hot and it never really has that in depth of variation of temperature, does that mean we can't make a good wine? No. Does it mean we may never make a world-class wine that people really who know the fine details? That's why Sonoma and Napa do better than out in the Central Valley. You go around Sacramento, those aren't known for grape-growing areas because of a hotter climate. But up in the foothills and other areas of California, there's various different grapes that do better in different climates. Here in Kansas, I have hope that we'll be able to develop really good quality wines. A lot of the sweeter wines everybody loves, and the fruit fits well in that category. If you're doing a dry red, which a lot of your listeners probably are more tuned to, the Norton has great potential. In 1873 and 1878, it won Best of World in competition in Vienna, Austria. the French actually didn't dislike the Norton. The Norton roots, in fact, helped them reestablish after the phylloxera events in the 1860s there. But so we have the potential, and I think what we're finding out right now is how much work it takes to get them up to the place that we can actually be proud of the fruit that we're making. But then you got to do something, and I sort of like the idea of trying to do that.
Well, and a job well done at this point. The place is beautiful. We're coming to you today from Stockamer Ranch, the Stockamer Farm, and Prairie Hill Vineyards. We'll tell you more about the venue, but frankly, I want to talk more about the wine stuff here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Dan Stockamer and yours truly, Good Life Guy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.